Yostra was a lot, says your time. Okay, that we can relate to, a little more recent. Okay, boys, so let's continue. We are in the middle of this, we're in the middle of the Pesukim. We've gone through Rashi, the Mitzudos, the Radak, and the Malbim. We're doing our Rabbeinu Bachya and a little bit of B'chemisa. We'll see what we'll select. Maybe we'll leave you the Grah. Okay, let's see over here, because it's so fun. These are so important. This Pesukim that we're learning on page 440. Okay, let's read the Pesukim very quickly one more time. Okay, it says the third day on these Pesukim, page 440, Vayetze Yodim in Oyer. Okay, page 440. Vayetze Yodim in Oyer, Vayetze Yodim in Oyer. Yona leaves the city, he dwells on the east side. FDR. Okay, goes to the east side. Vayas lo yisham sukkah. And he makes for himself a sukkah. Vayeshev tachtech. And he dwells beneath it, betzel, in the shade. As I was preparing for today's chumash, I couldn't help but notice is that sort silam me aleihem, in this week's parsha, it says about the people, Kolev, and Yoshua, in defense of the Shevach of Eretz Yisrael, he tells Klal Yisrael that they have no shade. So Hashem has removed the sword, Tzilom, I'm not sure I'm saying it correctly, Tzilom me aleihem, the tzel of Hashem, itanu al tirum, their shadow, their tzel has been removed. So therefore they are vulnerable, and it's easy to conquer. The conquest will be easy because they do not have any tzel. That definitely is very relevant for us, because here when it says that Yonibul the Sukkah, and then the next pasuk, he's waiting to see what will happen. Then Hashem provides the ki koyon. We have all the various perushim lahatzila meira asai, to also to save him from his evil by yismach yoyna al hakikoyon simcha gedela. So it's fascinating that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides tzel, what is the result? The result is a simcha gedela. Can we discuss yesterday the very profound words of the Malbim? What was the simcha in addition to the pshutoy shel mikra, that Yonah now had a nice breeze, a nice fresh breeze, a natural breeze from the kikoyoin? It was also a simon min hashamayim, that Hashem will reveal to him the secrets of what is really going on behind the scenes. As we, Rashi, the Malbim really said, v'shilumas rishoim tireh, the complaint of David HaMelech to Hashem is the same as Moshe Rabbeinu, tzadik viraloi rasha v'toivloi. David HaMelech just said it in different words. Hashem v'shilumas rishoim, the tranquility of the evildoers, of the wicked, tireh, you see, and you do nothing about it. How could this be? Yonah was now under the impression that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's waiting to see what's going to happen. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yonah, Yonah, excellent, I want you to stick around. I'm going to upgrade you to a penthouse suite. I don't want you to leave. Stick around, and therefore leave this little sukkah you built for yourself. I'm going to provide for you this beautiful kikoyoin. And this brought Yonah simcha gedola. It wasn't just the comfort, the physical comfort. It was the indication from the Ribbono shel Olam, yes, you have something is bothering you. I'm now about to reveal to you the secrets of the world. And this brought simcha. And how is this expressed? In the term of tzel, shade. Hashem tzilcha, Hashem Yad Yivinecha, what's the pasuk? Hashem Tzilcha, Hashem Yad Yivinecha, Hashem is your shadow. And that can mean many things. Mida k'neged mida, pick up your hand. When you pick up your hand, so the shadow picks up its hand. Hashem Shemrecha, Hashem Tzilcha, al Yad Yivinecha, your shade. Okay, so there are many different interpretations, but on a very simple level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is protecting you. He's providing for you shelter. Hashem is providing for you shelter. And when you are aware that the Ribbono shel Olam is there to protect you, he's there to shelter you, that brings you enormous simcha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. And now when it says that the people of Eretz Yisrael, the Zayin Umais, the Canaanim, and all of their affiliates, Hashem has taken away their tzel, sor tzilam ne'aleihem, the tzel from above them is gone. What do you mean it's gone? They don't have buildings, they don't have homes, they don't have a place to go and lie down and protect themselves from the sun. Of course they do. Obviously it means they're symbolic. So even the Pshuta Shel Mikra, you have to say the Pshuta Shel Mikra there can only be a metaphor, cannot even be understood to be taken literally. Even though Ein Mikra Yotzei Bidei Pshuta, there are some psukim that there is no pshat. The pshat is the metaphor, because it says, Sar Tzila Me'alehem, Hashem has removed His divine presence, has removed His Shechina. Look at the Kruvim. In the Mishkan, in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Mishkan, where does Hashem rest His divine presence? On the Kruvim. What are the Kruvim doing? Soichachim b'chanfeim al hakapores. Schach. They are providing tzel, the divine presence, the makom of the most, the greatest intensity in this world is the makom of schach. Soichachim b'chanfeihem al hakapores. That's the makom of the Hashuas Hashchina. The Hashuas Hashchina is described in the term of tzel. If Hashem has now removed the tzel from the Canaanim, we have nothing to worry about. Hashem is on our side, not on their side. Here, Yonah is experiencing a simcha gedoyla. Powerful, powerful words. Because it's a revelation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is providing tzel. The Shechina is resting upon Yonah. That's one of the most important lessons that I take out of what we've learned in recent times in Sefer Yonah. Now we finished the Malbim. If I'm not mistaken, we got through the entire Malbim. Yes, we did. Okay, now let's look at the Rabbeinu Bachya. Rabbeinu Bachya, Pasuk Hei Vav, back on page 441 is Vina Yona Mispayes Bezesha Hoidolo Hashem Isbrach Badover. The Rabbeinu Bachya is saying something very similar to the Malbim. And Yona has a very great Mispayes. He's interchanging the word Simcha with the word Pius, which is in itself a very fascinating idea. Everyone struggles, we've discussed many times, what is Simcha? Define the word Simcha. There's sasa and simcha, gilarina, disacheda, aviachva, shalom vireus. And by the way, I told you this once before, once we're talking about this, there's kedai to mention again, is there is a, we say in the brach, by Hashem brachos, ashabara, sasain v'simcha, chason v'chala, gilarina, disacheda, aviachva, shalom vireus. So most people, including myself, think that there are two words here that stick out like a sore thumb. And they are Chosan v'kala. Every single word in this expression is a word of joy. The sasa and simcha gila rina disachet aviachav shalom reyos. What is chosan v'kala? It just so happens to be that a chosan and a kala is one example of a time in life when we have these different types of joy. But if you go to a bar mitzvah, why not? There's also very great joy. A bar mitzvah boy enters le'ol ha-mitzvahs. What about a bris milah, a pidyon ha-ben, a ben? What about a siyum sechta? What about just life in general? Okay, yom tif, samachta b'chagecha. Why? What are these two words stuck in the middle of this pasuk? Ashabara sasa v'sim chasim ka l'gila v'rina. What's it doing over there? All right, so we don't pay much attention. It's just, you know, it got in there. It's a... They snuck in there. Chos and Kala. We give him a pass. So Rav Simcha Soloveitchik, he showed me, I believe it's you know, I forget. Either it's a Ramban or it's a Rambam. I don't remember if it's the Rambam or the Ramban. I forgot already. And he showed me inside, he showed me the words inside. He shows me that there is a form of joy called Chosan. There is a form of joy called Kala. There are two times the word is used. There's a word called chosan, the groom, the bridegroom, and there's the kala, the bride. Okay, that we know, they're nouns. Everyone knows the Kula Chasim. But there's something else. There is an expression of joy that is called chasan. That's nothing to do with a bridegroom, a man who is getting married. Kala, I mean, actually has nothing to do, but it's not related. It's borrowed. It's borrowed, but it's an expression of joy. And just like we don't really have a deep appreciation to understand the difference between the word, the type of expression of joy called simcha, and the joy called sasain, and the joy called rina, and ditza, and chedva, to us, we live in a very watered down, diluted world. It's all the same. You go to a wedding, what difference does it make what melody they're playing, what the band is playing? As long as you go deaf, it's fine. It doesn't matter. Yesterday I saw something I never saw before. Not only was the music beyond belief, they did a new madrega yesterday. They took the speakers. Normally they have the speakers by the bandstand. Right, they have a platform, they have speakers, blast away. They set up the speakers on the dance floor, on the ceiling. They had these massive speakers. They were suspended from the ceiling on top of the dance floor. The bandstand was there, and there were no speakers. And the big speakers, Mr. Rapport, you saw last night? This I never saw before. What? It's not the carrying balls. It's the band. This I never saw before. I mean, it's not loud enough. It's not loud enough. You have to put the speakers on top of your head.
No escape.
I really don't get it. I must be living in another world. I don't know. I just don't get it. Ad kidei kach. I mean, what's going on? In any event, there's something called a joy, a term called chasan, and a term called kala. There are different expressions of joy. And chasan and kala doesn't just mean simply a bridegroom and a bride. It means an expression of joy that is called chasan. An expression of joy that is called a kala. It's either the Ramban or the Rambam that Mamish explains this. And that makes sense. Now when you have all of these expressions, Ashabada, Sasan the Simcha, Chasan the Kala, Gila, Rina, Ditza, the Chedva, Avav Yachav Shalom Berius, these are all terms of joy. We're not describing any specific event. You can go to a bar mitzvah and there's a type of joy called the chasan joy. There's a type of joy called the gila joy. There's a type of joy called the ditza joy. And there's a type of joy called the kala joy. It's just a certain expression of pleasure. Now going back, this is very critical. Over here it says that Yon experienced a simcha gedoyla with this kikoyoin. And according to this idea, what you really learn from this week's parasha to a degree, and we're connecting it to the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan, there is joy sar tzilam me'alehem. They have no tzel. They have nothing. In the Beis HaMikdash, the Hashua Sashchin again is soichichim b'chanfehem. The awareness that the Shekhinah is resting upon us, there's nothing like it. It's what we have, and it's what they do not have. What the Canaanim do not have. And that's why we will succeed in conquering Eretz Yisrael and establishing a Beis HaMikdash, where there will be the Kruvim, which there will be Seichichim B'chanfeyam. In fact, Shlomo HaMelech, what did he add into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? He added in two giant-sized Kruvim. Massive kruvim, which was soichachim b'chanfeyam, which also extended and provided tzel in the kodesh hakodashim, in the bayis rishon. And here Yonah is getting a taste of that on a symbolic level with this tzel. And according to Rabbeinu Bachya is coming to say something a little bit interesting, that he's saying that the word simcha is synonymous with the word pious. Pious, that Yon over here is now being appeased. For the first time in the Sefer, we're learning where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to acknowledge Yonah's frustration, Yonah is frustrated. What are you doing, Hashem? Why are you sending me on this horrible mission, which will bring about the churban of Klal Yisrael? And Yonah is defying Hashem, and one thing leads to another. And now, for the very first time, Hashem, at least in Yonah's eyes, he wasn't so happy to be in the fish, the first fish, even though the first fish was very comfortable until he was put into the second fish. But here, for the first time, Hashem is doing something which is hands down joy, the ki koyoin, the tzel, and Yonah is expressing, it's called a pius. So let's see inside again. Pasuk Kei v'nei Yonah. Chel is joy.
Okay, so you have to...
Right, good. So it's a good question. What's the difference between simcha and chedva? We in the bracha we break them up into two different words. There's something called simcha, and then at the end we say chedva. So I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Well, we think of chedva as peace of mind.
Peace of mind. Okay. All right.
That's what we think of it as. That's the way I understand.
There are many different interpretations. Okay, so we have over here. Let's again see the Malbim. Let's see the Malbim again. We'll quickly go through it quickly. The Malbim says Nispayes Bezeh.
What page?
On page 441. 441. Vine Yona Pasekein the Rabbeinu Bachya. Vine Rabbi Yona Nispayes Bezeh Kishachoydomoy Hashem Yisparach Badover. When Hashem is admitting, what's the admission? I guess by providing him this ki koyon, v'hoya mekave oid, he has yearning, he wants more. I'm not finished yet, Hashem. Ulai tiskayim nivuasoi, he's hoping more that ulai tiskayim nivuasoi, that his nivua will be fulfilled. Now, see, this is very. He's going back and forth. What's Yonah hoping for? That Nineveh will be destroyed. This is not what we learned in the Radak. The Radak said that Nineveh, Yonah knew as a fact that Nineveh will not be destroyed. Yet, Yonah wanted to see what will happen anyway. Because just because Nineveh will not be destroyed, it cannot be they're going to get a complete pass. There has to be some repercussions from their actions, just like the Egel. Even though Hashem forgave Klal Yisrael for the Egel, there was a Magefa. Yonah wanted to see what will be the result over here. That's not what Rabbeinu Bachya says. Yonah was still holding out. Maybe Hashem will not forgive them, and Hashem will completely destroy the city. He's hoping that maybe Hashem will change his mind and will hopefully continue the plan to destroy them. No, he made a real sukkah. Oslo demus sukkah. Okay. Oh, I don't know. I hear what you're saying. I don't know. Then you're right. What does it mean demus? It says in the pasuk he made a sukkah. Vayasle sham sukkah. And here he says demus sukkah. Mi bitchono v'sikvasta b'shem yos. You want to go so long like you have yet? You say for Yecheskel. Hashem tells Yecheskel to go lean on your side for these number of days. Say he made like a little a dollhouse. He went on Amazon and he bought some little toy and he made a little miniature sukkah. Like they were making yeshiva katana in elementary school, you bring them a sample sukkah. So he did this as a nevuah, as a dugma, like a navi. A navi does small little things which serve as a symbol for something greater that's going to happen. So you're right, you're getting a whole new pshat. We have so many pirushim over here. What is the sukkah? Either it's a real sukkah. We learned yesterday a sukkah. We learned yesterday it has no ceiling, only has walls. We learned yesterday in the Malbim said there's a new prashat that only had walls, did not have a ceiling. And then we learned, no, it did have a ceiling, but it dried up. And then the kikoyon was on the outside, was on the inside. So many perushim. So you're saying over here, a new marshal, that it wasn't a life-size sukkah. It was a matchbox.
I don't know. And then it says that Hashem made it for him, as opposed to him constructing his own.
Vayas loy shal. Oh, so you want to say loy. Ah. So you're suggesting...
No, exactly what I'm suggesting, but he's saying something very different.
Love, the spice of the Shkishol Lo Yashem Yisprach, but the Vachayim Kav Oid Lo Yitzhem Nivosav, Yizesh Ma Yitzhem Na'ir, Vayishev, Vayik Kolaymar, Also, loy demus sukkah mi bitchoinoi v'sikvoy sabad. No, lo seems to mean that Yonah made the sukkah. You're suggesting that loy with a capital lamed.
Right.
Okay, a capital lamed, which means Hashem made the sukkah. For Yonah did nothing. Hashem first made a sukkah for Yonah, and then Hashem made for Yonah the kikoyon later. No, we didn't see anyone who said that, but it's not what the Rabbeinu Bachya seems to say. Rabbeinu Bachya says that Yonah made for himself the sukkah. He is suggesting that Hashem is the one who made this sukkah. Interesting.
Otherwise, the word low is extra.
Who else? Who else? Who else made the sukkah? Excellent. What does the Targum say? Targum Paskin, if I can remember the Makarta, the Yasim, me mad nach the Karta, the Avad le Tamon me talsa. It seems that he made it for himself. Vayavad le, he made for him. Good point. Excellent point. Excellent point. What does it mean, vayas loy? Look, it says that l'asa lo vayakadosh baruch hu is going to be called Yisrael Rum leishem sukachas. The sukkah shel Leviathan. Who is going to build that sukkah? Are we going to build the sukkah or is Hashem? So I think it says that Hashem is going to make the sukkah. Right? Hashem is the one that's going to create the structure. So vayas loy. So here when it says he made a sukkah, is low. Very, very good question. By the way, you know, the word sukkah is a very, very, very mystical word. We all know that. And in fact, in Sefer Tehillim, we Ad Hayom Hazed, there's a very big controversy. There's one pasuk where it says, I don't know where it is, but one pasuk where it says sukkah. And we don't know, there's a big machlekes, is it should be written with a vav or without a vav. Mole or chaser. There's a whole big tumult on this. Is it Molly the correct? Now, it's not Nogia for offer a Sefer Torah because no one's writing a Sefer Torah. You know, it's not Nogia. We never lane. We never lane from Tehillim. You only lane from the Nevim. You don't lane from the Ksuvim. But, you know, by the Kaisel HaMaravi, you all know they have there in that room, they have a Tehillim. Some people like to lane Tehillim, very fluent in Tehillim. They like to read Tehillim from Klaf. Why? I don't know, whatever. They have some Sipo Kanoa out of this. In the Kaisel HaMaravi, they have there in the cave, when you go into the, wherever it's called, that cave, you go in there, they have there a Tehillim on cloth in a glass case, and you can lean, you can roll it, you can lean from it. And there's always usually someone there that's actually saying Tehillim from that Tehillim. So there, I remember what's her story, there was also, when they made that Tehillim, should they write it Mole, Sukkah with a Vav, a sukkah without a vav. It's one of the few words in the Torah that, in the Levine, that's very controversial, just like you have Btsuadaka. Btsuadaka in the Torah, is it spelled with an aleph, or is it spelled with a hey? So by Nusach Ashkenaz, we spell it with a hey. And the Sfardim, the Teimonim, they spell it with a Chabad is the only exception. Chabad is the only one that spells Btsuadaka with an aleph.
Which word?
In Parashas Kisetze, Pitsua Daka. Is it spelled Daka? Is it with an aleph or a hey? So here also, the word sukkah is one of those words where there's also a controversy. In Tehillim, is it, I don't know which parak it is, okay, but it's interesting over here. We have over here what kind of sukkah. Now, Mechol's mentioning the word lo over here makes things more complex. Let's go further. Let's go. So over here, we have Hashem Yisparach Pei Rashi in the middle, getting Betzel. Let's go. Vayeshev Tachadecha Betzel, and he sat Betzel and Mitzvah Seif Betzel Tikvasai Ad Asher Yirem Ayir Buir. He took shelter in the roof in the Tzel Tikvasai. Okay, in the Tikva means a roof, and it means also hope. This week's Haftorah, the Chut HaTikva. The Chut HaTikva of Rochav HaZoyna. Tikvat HaShoni. So it means a cord, but Tikva, you see, means many things. Tikva means hope. And Tikva also here means a roof. It says, B'tzel Tikva Soy. Arash Yer Ma'yer Bo'ir HaShlomas Arboim Yom 40 days in Yinatzel Min HaGzera Im Lav if they'll be spared. V'nei Hashem Yisparach Perash Le'soyru Inyin. Hashem revealed to him a secret. And that is, he He's now going to explain those cryptic words, what he means over here in the next pasuk. Hashem now is revealing to Yonah a secret. This is what the Malbim said, and this now is what Rabbeinu Bachya is saying, is coming to explain in more detail. Vayiman Hashem Elokim ki koyoin. Hiskei shnei shemos b'tzimtzmichas ha ki koyoin. We have two different shemos in the sprouting of the ki koyoin. V'ilon shona. What is the shemos? Hashem Elokim. Hashem. They give this all part of the answer, the secret. Hashem is midas harachamim. Elokim is midas hadin. This is Rashi in the beginning of the Torah. B'yoyim b'roy Hashem Elokim es Hashemayim v'es ha'aretz. Ace. Ha'aretz v'shamayim. That Hashem originally bereshis bara Elokim. Hashem's original plan was to create the world with midas hadin. Bereshis bara Elokim es Hashemayim v'es ha'aretz. Plan B. B'yoyim b'ro Hashem Elokim es ha'aretz eretz v'shamayim Plan B, okay, stira to psukim. First Elokim, then it says Baro Hashem Elokim yudkevavke. Plan B was Hashem saw the world could not exist with midas hadin, so he was mishtatev midas harachamim to the midas hadin. Only then could the world endure. Plan B. Plan A is the ideal. Plan B is what is practical. There's always plan A and plan B. We live in a world where there are ideals. When you're young, you're idealistic. You imagine everything is going to be everything is perfect. And then you wisen up very quickly and you realize, forget about idealism. You got to be practical. You got to be practical. And that's exactly what Hashem did. But you still have in the back of your mind the remembrance of Zecher of what it means, the purity of what it means to have a goal of idealism. And here as well, Hashem now is revealing with two shemos, Hashem Elokim. Now, what is the ki koyoin? We already have a few perushim now. Rabbeinu Bachya, it's his turn. It's his turn to tell us what what it is. Is it a castor tree that produces castor oil? Is it a cotton seed? Something relating to cotton? Is it cotton? Can't be. Is it cotton? Maybe with a cotton seed, ki koyoin, kik shem and kik. Is it an asev? What exactly is this mysterious plant? V'ilon. So notice the word he chose. He's a rishon. Rabbeinu Bachya, his words have to be taken with much more seriousness than the later commentators. And he used the word an ilon, unlike Rashi, that chose the word asev. Big difference. Big difference between an asev, an herb, a grass, versus a tree. A tree is a much more complex item. A human being. Ki ha'adam eats hasodeh. Okay, how can you compare an adam to an animal? Adam is an eats. This week's parasha as well. Hayesh eats im ayin. This week's parasha, the Meraglim. Hayesh ba eats im ayin. Are there any trees in Eretz Yisrael? And what does Rashi there say? Are there tzaddikim who are megin on the door? Eoiv. Is Eoiv still alive? So you see that an eight, a tree in Elon, which is really, I'm assuming. Ki Adam eight Sasodeh. It's a very different word, which is worthy of making note of. Rashi says it's an Asev, and Rabbeinu Bachya, he used so far, was the only one that chose the word. It's an Elon, Shel Dolas, melons. Its leaves are very wide. It says in Bereishis, "Ki hinig beilon ze minig ilonei gan Eden." Ah, so now we're getting into the mysticism. Okay, this is not your castor oil here. This is something that is beyond our. There's a mystical thing now. There's a whole new league. Okay, you've entered now into a whole new world when you start talking about things that we have no. You can't go to Arizona on a tour and point. You see Rabbi Yisai, look out of the window. That's the Kikoyon Diona. Can't do that anymore. According to the Malbim, you can do that. You can go. This is the Kikoyon de Yonah. Go, I'll show you. Go online and or go online. Look at a picture. No more. There's no such thing today as that we know of as something a tree from Gan Eden, and that's what according to the Rabbi Nebachi of Ilan Shlach Lo El Shlach Rav Zalgal Ginyan Shkasov Ki Hinig Be Ilan Zeminig Ilani Gan Eden Ki Bayom Ki Bay Bayom Shen Nivru Hayu Be Gaidel Gufam Kein Nivra Ki Koyon. What is the Mila Fisha Ashlu Fisha A Be Gaidel Gufa Uvi Koy Masa. Now that's the saying of here, very powerful insight in Gan Eden. What exactly are the milos, are the advantages of things that grow in Gan Eden? So who's to say? I mean, we have no clue. It tastes better. It's pure. It's fresh. Oh, so this is the yisoid. This is something which Rabbeinu Bachri reveals. The milo of Gan Eden is, you don't have to wait. Ki b'chi pozon, yatzasam eretz mitzrayim. There's no delay. You plant the seed, results, immediate results. Like mamash, this generation, the microwave generation, I want it now and I want it hot. Okay, we live in the world of Gan Eden. Instant results. Everything has to be bang, 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 bang. This is not the way the world works. It doesn't happen that you plant a seed and wow, here we go. Today you have 3D printers. Whatever you want, Amazon Prime, conquer the world, conquered America. Same day delivery. Okay, who has patience for Walmart anymore? Going to wait a week to get something in the mail? I bought something in Walmart. I had a little app, and every time I want to buy something, it shows me the price in Walmart for exactly the same thing. A little thing you add into the browser. So look at that. It's 36 cents cheaper from Walmart. So why, after shipping and taxes, why not? 36 cents. It's a bargain, right? So I bought it. Never again. Took a week to come. Took a week to come. Amazon, you get it the next day. Okay? The hana of instant results is amazing. There's such great satisfaction. Rabbeinu Bachya has revealed to us a secret. Gan Eden, the hana of Gan Eden is instant results. You want it? Instant delivery. You want it? You have a 3D printer? Here it is. Okay? Print on demand. You want this safer? Okay? Go to a kiosk and you press a button and it spits it out. Print on demand, 3D printers. Amazon Prime, the Rebbeinu Shalom is speaking to us. We're living now in Ikvesod de Mashiach. Hashem is getting us ready for Gan Eden. Gan Eden Atachtoin. And Rabbeinu Bachya defines one of the critical characteristics, the most elementary characteristic of Gan Eden is instant results. You plant a seed today, and 5 minutes later, you have a whole tree. A whole tree that provides for you shade. That is the essence of Gan Eden. So think about that. Today we're living in a very interesting world where these type of things are shaykh to a degree. You want to go to the other end of the world, you get on a plane, you can be in Eretz Yisrael in a couple of hours. And if they really want it, the technology exists. If you really want, you can be in Eretz Yisrael in 3-4 hours. Right now. You can still be there by Shabbos if they really want it. They don't want it. It's not worth it. It's too expensive to have a plane that can do that, but the technology exists. We can be anywhere we want. Concorde, they shut it down. They have now better things than the Concorde if they really want. We can be there in a moment's notice. Hashem is speaking to us. He's showing us things can have instant results, and this is the Mahus of Gan Eden. Okay, so therefore, the Elohim Shem Achshav, so let's go further. Kinnig Beilin Zeminig Ilan Gan Eden Ki Bobayom Shnivra Hayu Begoidel Gufam Al Kain Nivra Haki Kayon Lefi Shah Begoidel Gufam. Become it was it came into existence in a moment's notice. The Al Kain Omar Vayal Meal Yoyin Lahatzlo Mirasay Roas Chay Mashemesh, and this is Zachram Tiona. This miracle of Gan Eden, it came to spear from Ra. Gan Eden is the eighth Hadas. Toiv v'ra. in the Eitz, and Gan Eden, there's a tree called Ra. How could that be? How could there be in Gan Eden the Eitz Achai, the Eitz Hadas, the Das of Toi Vora? Can there be Ra? Lo Yogurcha, Lo Yolecha, Ra. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. Does not exist in Hashem's abode, Ra. Are you talking? The Eitz Hadas Toi Vora? I don't have an answer. But over here this tree which is being Matzil Himei Ra, and this was, we mentioned before, this is the perfect tree. The key queen is Begematria Ro'ah, as Rav Meir pointed out. I didn't know that. Rav Meir pointed it out. It's Begematria, key kayon is Ro'ah, Resh Ayin Hey. And the Medrash says the key kayon is exactly built into its DNA, built into the seed. When it sprouts with exactly 275 leaves. So it's the Eitz Hadas, Toiv, Vora. The leaves actually have Ra. What does that mean? In Gan Eden? It's a poison?
Yeah.
Are allergic, but it's supposed to be a refuah. It's the classic refuah. Toiv Ra. For some it's good, for some it's bad. Like Musa. For some people, Musa can make them sugar, can make them OCD, can trigger obsessions. All right, let's go further. A lot of you say this here in the Bein Lebachya. Pasuk, page 443. Now we come to the Simcha.
Which is, you know what is Kikayon?
We're discussing that. There are many interpretations. That's what we've been discussing the last 2 days. Either it's cotton seed, cotton. No, here he says it's a Gan Eden. It's something mystical. Right now we're living in Bein Lebachya. And Bein Lebachya says it's a tree that comes from Gan Eden. And it sprouts in the one moment. It's something that is mystical. We do not know what this is, according to Rabbi Nebachia. Vayismach yoyna al hakikayon simcha gedola, page 443. Rabbi Nebachia. Samach al ilan shohoya had sel moyoloi. He had joy that the ilan provided shade. Vihine simchas yoyna al hakikayon doymel le simchas bne adam shbekin yine ho'oilam hazeh. And this is a whole new pshat of Kenyan. Okay, this is, I think it's a medrash, I think on the bottom, we don't have this, maybe I saw this somewhere. And that is, someone to learn, this whole story is a mashal. The ki koyoin is a mashal for kinyon, acquisitions. Miloshin kin kuf nun. It all comes back to this shirish of kuf nun, which we manipulate in many ways. And one of the forms of kuf nun is an acquisition. What kind of acquisition? There are physical, material acquisitions in this lower world, and then there are kinyanei olam haba, spiritual acquisitions in the next world. So the mashal of the ki koyoin is gashmis, the delight that man has in acquiring wealth in this world, material goods. It's pleasurable, no question about it. Okay, so therefore, simchas yona alakika yon doimel le simchas bnei adam, human beings, bikin yinei ha'olam hazeh. There's no person in this world that's normal, that doesn't have intense joy when he finds out he won the lottery. Or he gets a bonus, he works hard. You gotta be, they're such bali musar, they get a bonus. Oh, they're very sad, they walk around depressed. Stay away from those people. Okay, it's only normal to have joy when you succeed in acquiring wealth in this world. Okay, that is it a proper thing to pursue? Not necessarily, but if you get it, if you succeed, it's certainly joy. And he writes here, so Yonah had that joy. He was a regular person. And he had very great joy. However, what is the drawback? Kinyane ha'olam hazeh is only temporary. The ain roy l'smach b'kinyanim v'loy l'hitztar aleim ba'avei dasam. Musa. It's not kedai to get too happy. You have simcha, you make a shechianu. No, you make a shechianu when you buy a new car. Even if you lease a car, it's a shayla, you make a shechianu. Not really, but you have hana when you buy something new. Kelim chadashim, make a shechianu. Simcha. But don't get so upset. If it's taken away, because we'll menei shesim shimchasa shesamach al iskei olam azeh ba'al kasev haroi so mi'ut to'altam u'mi'us hanasam v'chalishus koicham. Beautiful, poetic, eloquent words from the Bein Abachya. Hashem is coming to teach him a lesson. Kidei lehiskalgel mizeh el haplila sheshol melamala. He's coming to teach Yonah the kinyanei olam hazeh are not something you should take all that seriously. Hashem is now giving him the ultimate of the marshal of kinyanei olam hazeh with this thing called the ki koyoin, whose name, the term to describe the tree is kinyan. The shorish of ki koyoin is kinyan. And Hashem is sprouting this beautiful ki koyoin that provides Yonah with much pleasure. And then in a few moments, Hashem takes it away. And then we'll ask Yonah to reflect. Reflect upon what happened. You had something, and now you don't. How do you experience possessing kinyani oylam azeh and losing it? It's almost like Eoif. Yonah is really another Eoif. Think about it. The more you think about it, Yonah is another Eoif. You have to really try to draw the line, try to decipher, to define clearly the difference between Yonah and Eoif. There are striking similarities. But the Torah is not in the business of repetition. Okay? the Kikoyon here represents the mashal of having called Kinyona Ulam Hazeh. And it's soon going to be taken away. Let's see. Okay, there's more. And also, Yonah is, just like Eov also had all of Ulam Hazeh, and it was taken away. Eov challenged Hashem. Zelo fear. Yonah did exactly the same. Zelo fear. This is not proper. What are you doing to me? You're sending me on a mission. A mission? I'm not going to do this. This is ridiculous. Well, Hashem, I don't get it. I don't understand what you're doing, and therefore I'm not going to obey. Yonah, to a larger degree, was more stubborn, more insubordinate than Eov. Eov, it doesn't really say he did anything. He just complained. Okay, he was deathly ill. He suffered enormously. It doesn't say he went and he disobeyed a direct order. He just had major complaints. He complained. Eov complained. Eov complained. There's one section where he comes so close to Mamish, his complaints were always restrained. His complaints were always restrained. At one point he came so close. I remember my father, Zohar Levracha, I remember he once read a statement from the OU. There was a Maisa when the OU was under very, very tough criticism. I think it was with the Pita scandal.
Yes, it was.
Right, Pita scandal. And the OU, they put a letter, probably Jewish Week then it was, maybe it was Jewish Press. And my father kindly said to me, it's remarkable how restrained they are, how the way the letter was so well written, how they said what they wanted to say, but they held back. They held back the nasty bitterness that you would ordinarily expect. What? Yeah, they paid plenty of money. I remember there's someone over here in this shul, he was very involved with the OU, and that's right, they paid a fortune of money. Crisis management for public firms. Yeshivas hire them also all the time. When there's a Rachmana Lestan, a scandal in the yeshiva, which is not always the fault of the yeshiva, I'm not saying, or at least the beginning. And the question is, what do you do? What do you do? So right away you get all lawyered up. Okay, you call your lawyer, get all lawyered up, okay, to prepare for a lawsuit, and then you gotta deal with the media. That's a whole different ballgame. Okay, there's one thing dealing with finances. You shouldn't be sued and this and that, but how do you preserve your
image,
public relations? And it's tremendous chachma. And what you say to firm people is not what you say to the Goyish world. And when you say it to front people also, there are, you know, you have to know what to say. You have to, there are consequences for every word that comes. These are critical moments. Every word you say will be held against you without question in the eyes of Klal Yisrael somewhere down the line. So there's a lot you have to know how to deal with what to respond. Yonah here, Yonah and Eoiv are both two individuals which are dealing with, struggling with very difficult situations, and they're striking similarities, and they're obviously, the fact that we have two different sefarim, it's our duty to really carve out for each one a different path, a different approach. Okay, let's see further. So that's what he's about to do. Now, Pasuk, Zayin, we did not yet do. That's going further in this narrative. Let's now take a look at the Mamore Chazal. Okay, that's not, we didn't do that yet, so we did not yet do that. There is no Mamore Chazal yet. Okay, let's take a look. We didn't yet do the Chaima Sanach. We will leave that until later, because that he ties together things that are coming up soon. And the Gra, we're going to leave for now. Maybe we'll, at another time, we'll just come back to certain parts of the Gra. Okay, let's leave the Gra, but maybe later on we'll come back to the Gra. The Gra is very interesting, but we'll cover some ground. Pasuk Zayin. Okay, Pasuk Zayin. So make sure we got everything. Vayiman, Vayiman. Now we have now another. This I think the fourth Vayiman. Now I'm saying this is the fourth Vayiman. Vayiman, Hu Elokim Toilas. Hashem now prepared. He was Mazmin. He prepared a Toilas, a worm. Ba'aloi Sashachar Lumocharos. Early in the morning on the next day. Vatach es hakikoyon vayivosh. It smote the kikoyon, and the kikoyon withered away. Easy come, easy go. And what destroyed this magnificent tree that came out of Gan Eden? A toilas, the lowest of the low. A creature that was so insignificant. Al tehi boz l'chol adam. Don't underestimate the smallest thing in this world. Not for good and not for bad. Who could imagine a teeny little toilas can destroy something so great? It's not for nothing that in the modern world you have in a computer program, if there's an error, we call it a bug. What is a bug?
Yes, but if you want to insert a virus or something malignant, they call it a worm.
It's a worm or bug. A teeny little things. They once set up, I remember when I was a kid, they once set up NASA. I remember they set up some, I don't know what, some rocket, something to who knows where. And the amount of money, the code and effort that went in, and by the way, you know when you ever see space shuttle has been retired, okay, but we ever see it goes up, I once learned this in school. When the space shuttle goes up, if you ever notice on the videos, it turns slightly. You never notice that? It goes up. Engines go, and then in order for it to get onto its trajectory, its course, it turns just a little bit. It turns. Do you know how much code for computer programmers went into that analysis in order to get it just to turn, just that slight little turn? What we take for granted, you turn your hand. It's mind-boggling how much. How money, resource, effort, ingenuity, chokhmah went in just to make a machine turn just slightly in order that it can go off into the right course, outer space. Here, and there's one time they sent something very expensive, and it turned out, it's a true story, I remember we had actually learned about this, there was a missing comma in the code. One missing comma in the code, after they did all the tests and simulations for hours and weeks to make sure this rocket would reach its destination, halacha lemaisa, it exploded. And in the aftermath, when they tried to understand what went wrong, and they retraced every single step of the way, they discovered a comma was missing.
Whatever it was
in the code. And that, even though in all of their simulations and the testing, incredible testing, it always worked, but in this situation, whatever the reason was, it went away. It was an error. A teeny, teeny dot makes all the difference. Here you have this magnificent tree from Gan Eden, and a little toilas, who would ever imagine, comes, Vayiman, Hashem sends it, and destroys the Ki Koyon, which represents, according to the Rabbeinu Bachya, all of the Ta'anuge Ho'olam Hazeh. A teeny little thing gets in your way. Homon Harasha had everything he can possibly want. He was on top of the world. There was a toilas that was in his way. Mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachaveh. One little Jew, what was a Jew in his eyes? Nothing. A Jew, he was willing to wipe out the whole Klal Yisrael. One Jew doesn't want to bow down. It was a toilas in the eyes of Haman. That toilas was the siva of losing everything that he had, his wealth, his family, his life. Here, Vayitach Esaki Koyen Vayivash, Pasik Ches, Vayihi Kizrech HaShemesh. Now, here's the fourth time. It comes when the sun... Oh, we're going to close it right now. Here it says only Elohim.
Right.
Ho Elohim.
Right.
Here it says by man ha Elohim. And the second one also.
Oh, but there's no hair idea. Pasuk Ches now it says by Hikiz Refa. We are four, we're going to discuss this. You're hitting on something I didn't, but you're saying something that I didn't realize. That here in Pasuk Zion it says Ho Elohim. And in Pasuk Ches, it does not have the Hei idea.
Without.
Vayihi Kizreach HaShemesh, when the sun rose, Vayiman Elokim. Again, Midas Hadin, but there's no Hei idea. Ruach Kodim Charishis. Yonah was on the east side of the city. He prepared on the east. Hashem now sent an east wind. Now, besides the fact east, each wind has its own unique nature. One wind dries. It brings dryness. One wind brings wetness. One wind brings heat. Each wind of the four different sides of the world has a different nature. That's Chazal discuss. Here it says, we have to see more what's the significance of the Ruach Kodim. It's, I think, the strongest wind. Charishis means deafening. Cheresh. There are different perushim, what it means over here. So according to the mitzvah for the moment, Miloshim Cheresh, which means it makes noise. When the wind howls, when it's very, very windy, wind produces sound. And when the sound is unbearable, it's like making you deaf. Go to a wedding and they play, the band plays, it's deafening. I've noticed now a new thing. It used to be that it was only deafening by the dancing. But by the chuppah, it was bearable. Not anymore. Mishtane hateva. Now, by the chuppah, when the chos and kala march down, the need is, we should also go down. When the chos and kala march down. And I figured out why. I finally understood why. Because since everyone is so busy talking and not having any respect whatsoever, it's so disrespectful. So the only way to compensate is to deafen everyone. To punish them for talking. That's what's real. That's what's happening today. Pay attention. You go to the chuppah. The chuppah now, you'll notice, it's become a new thing. They also, the music, when the people, they march down, is also becoming new levels of sound that we never saw before. And if you tell this to the band, they look at you like, are you crazy? It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know. Vayihi kizroyach HaShemesh v'ayiman elokim v'yuchadim chadishis v'atach HaShemesh al Rosh Yonah, and it smote. The sun smote on the Rosh Yonah v'yis alof, he fainted. And now we go back to where we started all over again. Choyzeh ha-gilgol v'ayishal es nafshoy lomos nochamol, he made a request that he should die. V'ayoyber, and he said, toiv moisim echayoy, better dead than alive. Now the first time he said it was different. The way he demanded death here is not the same way he demanded death originally. And that's a very important thing to be aware of. Back in Perek Dal, Pasuk Gimel, it says, V'yatah Hashem, kach no, es nafshi mimeni. Take it. It wasn't a she'ela. Okay, she'ela can have a connotation of please, pretty please. There's a certain etiquette of how you make a request. Yonah, back in Perek Dalid, was a mechutzef. He made a demand. He says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm not saying please, I'm making a demand. Kach no es nafshi mimeni. Let's get this over with. Ki toiv moisi mechayoi. Better dead than alive. Here, when Yonah was very disappointed, vayish al es nafshoi lomos. It's a much more delicate request. He doesn't speak directly to Hashem. Vayish'al, he makes a request from the one you make the request from. It's like almost indirectly. Regarding es nafsho, regarding his neshama, lomus, that it should perish.
Doesn't the word na mean foolish?
Yeah, well, he was suffering so greatly.
No, it wasn't the kasha.
Okay, you say eino elo l'shoin bakasha. You have to look at the content. No, I have an answer for you. The answer is, let's go back to last week's parsha. Here's the answer. Last week's parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu said the word not twice. Kel no refa no la. He said the word "no" twice. If I'm not mistaken, Rashi, I don't remember Rashi, the Targum, says that the "no" means two things. It means please, and it means achshav, now. Sometimes it depends on the context. "No" means please. Hoshia, now. Okay, so it depends on the context. Then there are other Rishonim that disagree. And they say no only means one thing, it means please. But I'm not mistaken, I'm positive there is a Rashi, you have the Rashi over there in the Parsha, Kel Rafa no la, Kel no Rafa no la.
Rashi says hey, no
Rafa. Read the whole Rashi.
Rashi says by the Akedah.
Not by the Akedah. There only says it once. There it only says it once. There Hashem is speaking. Hashem is asking Avram, please. Hashem is actually going to the Sfasem. But what about by Miriam? Miriam, it says it twice. You have the Rashi over there by Miriam? Last week's parasha, Bahaloyscha, the end of Bahaloyscha. Towards the very end of Bahaloyscha, Kel no refa no la. All of the commentators, they dwell upon the repetition of the word no. And many of them say the word nob can mean two different translations. It means either now or it means please. And in this context, according to some, Moshe was asking both, please Hashem, heal her now. We don't have time to wait. And then you have to go back and study every time it says the word nob in nach. Does it mean now or does it mean please? So therefore, what do you mean honor? Kach no, pas the gimel. Back perik dalit pas the gimel. Viato Hashem. Kach no, es nafshi mimeni. So you've challenged me. No means it means please. Targum. Chaan means viato now. Hashem. Saf keas kean. It means now. According to the Targum, Targum translates the word no in this pasuk does not mean please, because he translates the word viato identical to the word no. Targum pasuk gimel uchean now Hashem sav take kean now. Do you see? Targum here in pasuk perik dalet pasuk gimel translates the word no to mean achshav. Now, right now, not please. In the Akedah, when Hashem says, Kach no es bincha, es yichidcha, shorhaft es yitzchak, there the word no means please. The word no can mean one of two things. And that's why by Miriam, Moshe repeated the word no twice. One time "na" means now, and one time it means please.
Targum. More than those two times.
What?
Right, he said
by Eschanon. What?
He also said before that,
Al-Nas, so there means Bakash. Okay, right. So therefore, there's no question, and over here, look at that. I'm justified, okay? I'm vindicated, because the Targum says, Ka'an. So therefore, Yoni here, according to the Targum, is speaking with chutzpah. He's speaking with chutzpah. I want to die now. Ribbono shel Olam, kachna. There's no etiquette. There's no midos. Pirkei Avos, it's not a Pirkei Avos shir. Okay, I want out. Kach no es navshi mimeni ki toiv moisi mechayoi. Here, Hashem gives him the kikoyoin. Hashem takes it away with this little worm, and then the sun beats down. He faints. He wakes up. He sees the kikoyoin is gone. Vayishal es navshoi lo mus. He's very polite. He makes a she'ela. He doesn't speak directly to Hashem. Regarding my neshama, lamos vayom, and he says, listen, it's just practical. It's just, practically speaking, it's not good to remain around too long.
If not, could be now and please, maybe that's why I'm going to put on Hashem
Mashiach. You say twice. It's a drush. it's an idea. On Hashem Mashiach, please.
And now.
Interesting, interesting. What? They say both now. On Hashem, Hoshiyana, on Hashem Atzlichana. So you say it four times. You need a Yeshua and you need Hatzlacha. We need it, please, and now. With Derech Eretz, but we don't have time to wait. Like, you know, with the Sfasemes, with Chedush Harim, one of those two is where he told the Hasidim, anyone that this Yom Tov says, Honor Hashem, with Kavana, will be Zoiche to Groisu Yeshuas. True story. Groisu Yeshuas. The word went out, they send out a WhatsApp, Sugulois, everyone came running, and they, when it came to Honor Hashem Hoshina, it was deafening. Honor Hashem, Hoshina, honor. Everyone was already planning, who knows, their vacation in the Caribbean for the summer. And guess what?
Nothing.
Olam kimin hagoy nohog. Everyone was the same dirt poor they always were. So they go back to the Rebbe. Rebbe, you told us, you promised us. So he said, well, tell me what you did. We all said, Ona Hashem Hoshina. He said, no! Ona Hashem ki ani avdecha. I told you to say Ona Hashem. And what you thought I meant, Ona Hashem Hoshina. Ona Hashem Atzlichana. That's not what I meant. I said you should say Ona Hashem. I was referring to the pasuk, Ona Hashem ki ani avdecha. Don't ask what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. See, the Sfasemes came way before Kennedy. Okay? Kennedy plagiarized the Sfasemes. It's really the same Yisoid. Honor Hashem ki ani avdecha. So here, this is an important note. We have to stop over here, but over here, you see over here that Yon over here is coming to complain, but the complaint is different. He's asking to die with Derech Eretz. Why? Obviously, this experience has already changed him. Okay, that itself is, you know, you can't ask to the world. There are people that are very bitter. People have what to be bitter about. They have problems. And you work with them. When you think you're going to turn them around and make them into a malach, alakim tzivakos, small little things make a big difference. Hashem did this whole miracle. Just for this alone it was kedai. Just for this alone, Hashem made the kikoyoin for one day, and then it's gone. Already Yonah was a different person. Already the chutzpah went away. Everything is the same. I want to die, but it's not the same. Before kachna, now vayishal es nafshoy. It's an edelkeit in asking to die. That's a big thing. Okay, it's small little things that make a world of a difference. All right, take a short break and learn some chumash.